Am I on, Dev? Yeah? All right, you hear me. Hey, if you could, real quick, round of applause for those that come up here and sing. I know that goes against the nature of most of the people that were standing up here singing. So, very proud of them for that. If you don't know who I am, I'm Kenyon Breedlove. I'm a youth leader here. I feel like I always need to make that distinction. I'm a pastor, so if you don't like what I have to say, you can get mad at Steve about it instead of me. If you're expecting Steve, sorry to interrupt your regular scheduled programming. I hope to offer what I can. But before we get started, I have to settle one discussion. I want you to take a good long look at this shirt. Okay? I need your involvement here. On the count of three, you have two colors to pick from, orange or pink. And you have to verbally, I said on the count of three, some of you don't follow instructions very well. Okay? I'm a teacher. That's important. So, on three. One, two, three. I disagree. If you look real close, it's pretty orange. Okay? Very orange. Let me rephrase that. Okay? Very orange. If you would, turn with me in Matthew chapter 13. I'll be reading from verses 24 through 30. That will be the basis of what we're discussing today. I will be reading some other scripture. If I go too fast to flip to that, write it down. Read it for yourself. Don't always just go off what somebody's standing up here has to say. I encourage you to read that for yourself. But we'll start in verse 24 of chapter 13 in Matthew, if you would, read with me. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares or weeds among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and the boar grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The slaves said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, for while you're gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into the barn.'" If you will, please pray with me. Lord, thank you for this day, and we're so thankful for this opportunity that we have a place to come together and worship you, Lord, and worship your name, and always give praise to you, Lord. We have nothing without you. In the good times and the bad times, Lord, we give our praise to you. As I'm up here, Lord, I pray that it's you speaking through me and me and not my own words, Lord. And I just pray that one person's heart can be changed today, and that they take that with them and pass it on to somebody else. Thank you so much for your son and his death on the cross. In his name we pray. Amen. So this is Jesus talking about a parable. A lot of you, if you're not a farmer, you can understand it a little bit, right? You have wheat. A is our good seed. And then you have a weed that kind of resembles it, okay? Which probably called a darnel, okay? And so as it's growing, it looks a lot like the good crop. And then when it comes ripe, it looks different, okay? And it has a different appearance. And it's very obvious that's what it is, okay? So with that, I'm going to be making a little bit of comparison. Hopefully I'm not stretching here. But we're going to be talking about whether you're a fan or a follower of Christ, and hence the title. And we're going to compare the fan, okay, to the weed, the thing that doesn't, it kind of looks right, but it's not exactly right, and a follower to the good seed, to the wheat that is going to be sprouting and harvested, right? Because it looks very similar, it looks almost the same, almost the whole time until it's time of harvest, okay? And it coexists, right, with the good seed. Just like somebody who's not really committed coexists with those who are. Okay, we talk about this a lot in youth and what it really means to be like all in and in committed, right? And we question that, right, in ourselves. We question that in the modern church in America. Are we really doing the thing that we need to do that Christ is calling us to do in that full commitment to Christ? And I encourage you, question that in yourself. Am I really doing that? Before I start making some differences, I want to make one glaring similarity between a fan and a follower. We're all sinners in need of Christ's death on the cross to gain access to heaven that way through his death, for that veil to be torn and us to have that access. So both people are in need of that. Fan, follower, wherever you're at, we're innately sinners. Hey, and we need that both ways. Hey, the first one I have, a fan. Hey, this is the weed. And don't throw stones at me when I first say this. Hey, let me explain. The fan, hey, comes to church only on Sunday. Hey, I've been there. A follower invites Jesus into his home, into his work, into his gatherings. Hey, now let me clarify. If you only come to church on Sunday morning, that's not me dooming you. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? You may never step foot in a church building again and end up in paradise with Christ. Okay? I strongly believe that. But if the only place that you are inviting Christ into your life is just when you're here, you're missing a lot of time to be with Christ. Okay? We're not asked just to be with him for the hour that you're here or 2 hours if you come to Bible study. Okay? That's not what it's about. Okay? We are instructed to invite Christ into our life. Okay? Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross daily. If you're only wanting Jesus for the hour or 2 hours that you're here, you're not denying yourself daily. Okay? You are uplifting yourself daily and putting yourself on top daily. Okay? Been there, done that, ashamedly do it all too often. Right? Life gets busy, and I understand that. You have a job, you have kids. Some of you have lots of kids. I'll pray for you. Okay? I see them. I'll pray twice. All right? And so I understand that. It's very easy, I think, to kind of get in that rut of life. Life is very busy. Life is hard. It's very easy to only worry about those things. Right? Some of you have kids who play multiple sports, and one of you goes this direction, and one of you goes that direction. My parents did that. I don't know how they did it. I couldn't imagine it. Right? How am I supposed to fit in this time with Jesus? Right? How am I supposed to just focus on my relationship with Christ? How am I just focused on growing closer to him? Well, here's the secret. You're going to have to take out something that is your desire. Because your desire needs to be Christ. Okay? I fill my life with all kinds of humanly desires, have had in the past, sadly continue to do, that get in the way of what should be my one true desire, and that is chasing Jesus. Right? Believe it or not, you don't have to have a Netflix account to go to heaven. Okay? I have one. In reality, it may stand in the way of that more than it helps me. Hey, I even watched some good things on there. Hey, documentary on Moses. I've seen some great things on Netflix, right, that have furthered my studies. But I don't know when I'm supposed to read, man. How am I supposed to read 30 minutes of my Bible a day? How am I supposed to devote myself to prayer? Pray continually. Okay? Pray, always be in a state of prayer. Okay? You can do that. Don't turn on the TV when we first get home. You don't have to. You don't. And I'm not barking at you. I need to keep my TV off. Okay? Go open your Bible. Go to bed on time. Wake up 30 minutes earlier. Open your Bible. When your feet hit the floor, say a prayer. You were blessed with a brand new day. There are lots of ways that we can grow closer to Christ. But as it says, as he says in Luke here, we have to deny ourselves. That's where we struggle, especially in our culture. Our culture is very easy to uplift yourself and put yourself at the top. That's what we're told every single day. I know I said a joke about praying for your kids, but you really do need to be praying for them. Everything they are told all day long is about themselves. Do what's best for you. Well, how can you get ahead above everybody else? Right? And I, especially I mean, the way I grew up in sports and things like that, you want to be the best. I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to be the best at what you're doing, but it creates a you mentality. It's not a you mentality. It's a Christ mentality. And you want other people to join you. You got to get people on the boat. You got to bring them with you. And it's very hard in the culture we live in. That is me, 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 as fast as I can, as quick as I can, the best I can, to get what I want. And so I understand the inherent idea, the nature of just self-serving. I understand it and I fall to it myself. I'm not putting anybody down. But we have to take a deep reflection in the mirror and ask, am I living for me most of the time or am I living for Christ most of the time? When I do that, if I ever make that opportunity, you'll get a very honest answer. You will be convicted of what you do. And you need to answer that. Right? That's what's going to separate the fan and the follower here. Hey, the fan might make that reflection. Might get home on Sunday, looked in the bathroom mirror, and they're convicted by something that they heard at church this morning. But then they just go on and live life. Hey? The follower is going to take that next step. They're going to fail again. Hey, the Bible tells us that. You're going to fail again. But you keep going. You keep doing what you need to do to redirect your life. And I'll probably mention this again, but Darren had a great conversation with the youth on Wednesday about redirecting. He was in 2 Chronicles. There were four things that were mentioned that we need to do to kind of redirect and you got to humble yourself, commit to prayer, devotion, and repentance. There's not a limit on the amount of times you do those things. Hey, maybe put that on a sticky note next to your bed. I don't know, whatever you got to do. Hey, that helps me. I have a piece of paper. What I want to do every day when I go to work, it's set right there on a little postcard, taped to my wall. And I read it every day. It helps. It's something we got to do. Amen. Enough on that. Next thing, a fan versus a follower. Okay? A fan worships Christ to be viewed by others. A follower worships Christ to glorify Christ. Right? In Matthew 6, it's pretty heavily addressed, okay, in reference to the Pharisees and the way they lived their life. Right? Everything they did was about bringing power to them. Right? This is in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Christ kind of reflects on a lot of things the Pharisees do that was leading the Jewish people astray. It had them, whatever it needed to raise the Pharisees up. Right? And at the beginning of chapter 6 in Matthew, he says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." Right? I've been down that road. Tried that, you still have this sense of emptiness at the end of that road of living for you. And that goes right back to what I was just talking about. You're still just living for you in that moment. If you are a Christian, just so people think you're a Christian, right? And that should have quotations around that question. And like if you're doing this Bible stuff just so people think you are, and you think that gives you some type of image with people, then that's still for you. Right? If you're doing it to glorify God, it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks about you. Right? I can go right back to what I was just saying. It's very easy to fall in that trap, especially in today's world. What do people think about me? Right? I shouldn't say younger. I see some of you old people in diners on Facebook. Okay, I see you. Don't worry. I read your posts, your copy and paste. The 100th time, I see it. Okay? But we get this social media stuff, right? You post, right? You get some notification, dopamine senses go off. You like that. That's about you. That makes you feel good. Something you did. Okay? That's very common, right? But that's for you. That's not for Christ, right? If you are living for Christ, as it says here in Matthew 6, when you give to the poor, do not sound the trumpet before you. If you're called to do that, just do it. You don't have to go tell everybody about it. It's nothing wrong with sharing the experience Right? If somebody asks you or somebody sees you, there's nothing wrong with sharing the experience, but why are you sharing it? Right? Where is your heart at when you're doing those things? That's what makes the difference. Your heart makes all the difference. Your actions can be one thing. Your heart is something different. You can't fool God. You can't fool Him. He knows where your heart is at. Not just in giving. In prayer. I've said those prayers, those routine prayers. We've had these conversations in youth a lot. Right? Are you praying before the group so people see you? Or are you praying to grow closer to God? Are you praying so that people see Christ through you? Which one do you want? Do you want yourself to be glorified, or do you want Christ to be glorified? Right, this obviously is a common theme here. Okay. Next one. This is big. I think this is the one that really hits a lot of committed Christians a lot. It does, because it's something we are all going to endure without a doubt. When bad things happen, right? I think we all have reacted or are going to react just like a fan would react. But it's what happens next that will make you a follower. When bad things happen, do you blame? Do you doubt? Do you get angry at God? I think we could all say that we've been there. Yeah, I've been there. I've doubted. I've blamed God. I've been mad at God. Or do you use those opportunities, do you use those feelings as a way to grow closer to God? Do you devote yourself to prayer so you can understand, so you can grow closer, so you can further your relationship? Right? I know I've doubted. I know I've blamed God. I know I've been mad at God a lot. But it doesn't have to be where I stay. Right? I think that's what's going to make this separation here between fan and follower. Right? In my personal life experience, something I always go back to for that was when my grandpa got cancer when I was in high school. Right? He was like the patriarch of our family. Nothing ever bad had really happened. And he gets sick, and it obviously hurts him. Right? And it hurt all of us because we could feel that. Right? I think we were all a little mad at God at that moment. But his reaction to it is what made the difference. Turned it over to God, and he used that to further his relationship. Another little bit of real life experience. I met these two people Friday. I didn't have practice, and I went on a day off from baseball, and I went on a little excursion. All right, I met these people, who, let's just say, life had got the best of them. They made some bad decisions. Their whole life is in a backpack, and they live in a tent. I met them on Friday, and I guess, like I said, I was bored. I didn't have practice, so I got myself in trouble probably. But I stopped and talked. I saw them. I called Nicole. I was like, "Hey, we got an extra Bible at the house." Yeah. And we'd been in the middle of packing, so who knows where it was at? But I found one. Okay? So, and I wasn't very far from my house. I went to the house, I got it, I came back, and I'm talking to him. And we talk about blame and just hate and anger, right? But it all comes from a very reasonable place. If you just listen to them, you can understand their hate, you can understand their blame, you can understand their anger, right? Yeah, they made bad decisions, whatever. That's not the focus, okay? The focus is you can understand that's in them. And my goal in being there was to just try to hear them. And then I said, you know what? I'm not here to judge the decision. And they open book. I really didn't have to talk much. They told me all kinds of things I probably didn't want to hear. But I got to hear them anyway. I was there for like half an hour, right? Recent users just making bad decisions, okay? But that's not the focus. I said, my focus isn't on that. Hey, I have made bad choices of my own, right? And I'm not going to spill them all out to you, so you don't have to spill them to me. But inside this book is some good news that I've heard, and my job is to share it with you. That's why I'm here. Now, I'm here to give you this good news. The bad things are still going to happen. Whether you accept this good news or not, talking to them, you're going to wake up in a tent in the morning. It's not going to magically change. I wish it could. It has the ability to. Christ can do anything. But odds are, if you accept this good news, it's still going to be rough in the morning. Okay? If you lose your job, even though you love Christ, the next day you still might be without a job. But what are you going to do? Are you just going to keep being mad at God? That's not going to get you a job either. Okay? Health diagnosis you don't like. Unfortunately, that's struck my family a few times. Hey, I loved listening to my grandma talk about it. She just says, I gave it over to God. Unless she's doing it on her own, I've never seen her with worry about it. I mean, not in conversation with me. And she's not one to mince her words much. Just turn it over. And that was my conversation with these people. And the woman, she had somewhat of a background, right? You could tell she was somebody who had been hurt by the church. And she had just so much anger built up in her. But she had a knowledge. Right? She had a knowledge of good and evil. She had a reflection of what she was doing, being good or evil. Right? We had those conversations. She laid it all out on the line. I know a lot about her. I know more about her than I do some of you in here. I see you a lot. She laid it all out there. She has this knowledge. You could tell that she had just been hurt. Right? Somebody who was a Christian had hurt her. They hadn't loved on her the way that we're supposed to love on people. The way that followers of Christ love on people. She made mistakes and received hate. Now, I will say she probably took some correction by family or parents or whatever. Maybe a little the wrong way. But she received some hate for mistakes. Okay? But raise your hand if you've never made a mistake. Okay. We've all been there. All of our mistakes, all of our sins, okay, across multiple times in this Bible, tells us, are worthy of death. So when you encounter somebody, no judgment there. Right? Let me get back on track a little bit here. When bad things happen, right? You need to use that to glorify God. Okay? In Acts chapter 5, hopefully I can find the right place here. 5:41, right? Peter and some other apostles, I think it was John at this time, they were going back and forth getting arrested. I don't know if they thought it was fun or what. Okay? But they've been beaten, they've been arrested, right? After calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then they released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer for His name. Okay? Why do bad things happen? To glorify God. Okay? There's sin in the world. Things happen. As a follower of Christ, you take those things and you glorify God with them. That's what you're called to do. Okay? You're going to be given those bad things, unfortunately. Okay? And I hate that. I really do. I hate that exists. I wish that we could go on without that. I wish we didn't have cancer. Right? I wish you could always be employed. I wish there was always the appropriate amount of sun and the appropriate amount of rain. Okay? I do. But the song, or a couple weeks ago, Raymond, you sang, right? Sometimes our trials are blessings in disguise. That is bringing us closer to the Lord. Sorry, I know I'm skipping around here a little bit. Romans 5, I read this a lot, verses 3 through 5. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I mentioned these verses to the couple people I talked to on Friday. They were missing that hope. They're missing that connection. They're missing that. They're just surviving, right? When you're surviving, tomorrow doesn't factor into decisions. They had no hope for tomorrow. They had no hope for an eternity. This tells me here that my trials and tribulations lead to hope. And hope does not disappoint. A hope in Christ does not disappoint. In Hebrews it talks about a peace that we are given through Christ. And we have rest in that. So when the bad thing happens, you're probably still going to be mad. You're sad, upset, angry. The bad thing doesn't go away, but you're given a peace in that because of Christ. You know where your heart is. You know where your eternity lies. Okay? I listened to a podcast. Okay? I don't know if anybody remember that Duck Dynasty show. Right? I listened to a few of them on Unashamed. I'm sure you're surprised by looking at me that I watched that show. Okay? But they have this Unashamed podcast, and one of them, and they fly a lot, and one of them was talking about he used to have a fear of flying, right? And he sat down next to another guy who also had a fear of flying recently, and the guy was talking to him about it. He goes, "You just need an emergency landing to get over that." And he's like, I don't know if that's going to help me. He told him a story about how one time they had an emergency landing, and he was just surprisingly calm in the middle of the emergency landing, right? He grabbed his wife's hand. They weren't like crashing, but they were descending faster than they wanted to, but they were planning on landing. He just grabbed his wife's hand. They said a prayer, and he had a peace about him. After that, he wasn't afraid of flying anymore. He remembered where his eternity is at. And sometimes, maybe not so drastic, we all need that, just a little bit of a reminder. Right? But that gives us a peace. When you have Christ, you have that peace in you. And that's, again, what separates the fan from the follower. Right? You see a lot of people attend church, do church things, do church gatherings. Right? But when something even just inconvenient happens in life, and you shouldn't judge others, but you kind of get a sense, right, that they're lacking that peace. Right? Maybe they haven't fully submitted to Christ. And if you haven't, I'm just laying this here. You need to. It gives you a comfort. It gives you something you can rely on, something that you can hold on to as you go through these trials. And one more little flip here on that. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Though temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will provide the way to escape so that you will be able to endure it. It's not going anywhere, but with Christ you will be able to endure it. To lift up Christ, to lift up Jesus' name. The trials aren't going anywhere. Not until they put you in the ground. And your reward's in heaven. Well, while you're here, unfortunately, odds are those trials are going to happen. The tough is going to happen. The arguments are going to happen. But God is faithful. You can take that to the bank. God is faithful, and He will give you the strength to endure it. I can promise you that. Amen. Let no one, later on in verse 10, let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. A fan or follower, that's where you need to be. That's where you need to be chasing. Okay? Lifting up Christ and bringing others along with you. That's where we're called to be. That's where Christ wants us to be. And I'm telling you, that's where you will find a peace that you've never experienced before, unless you have. And you'll know it. How do I know if I'm there? How do I know if I'm submitted? How do I know fan or follower. Hey, those are just words. But I'm telling you, there's just something. There's not good words to explain it because it can't be explained by our word, our English dictionary. It just can't. Okay? And those of you who know what I'm talking about, maybe you can come up with some words. But no word seems great enough for it. There's just a peace about life that you have with Christ in your heart that you don't get anywhere else. You don't get from a TV show. You don't get from a pill. You don't get from a drink. You don't get from nothing. You don't get from a spouse. You get it from Christ, and that's the only place you get it. That's the only place I found it. And it shows up every single day. As Paul just said to the church at Corinth, God is faithful. Shows up every single day. You can count on it. Clockwork. And first, before we finish, I'll go back to Matthew 13 and verse 30. Allow both to grow together until harvest, and the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into the barn. Hey, you have two choices in life, really. It all boils down to two. You can live separate from Christ, or you can live in union with Christ. Those are your two options. God doesn't condemn you to hell. You either make a choice to live separate from Christ, or you make a choice to live with Christ. Those are your two options. And we're given that free will to make that choice. You can choose to live with Christ. And like I've said, trials will happen, mistakes will happen. You lean on Christ. You can choose to live separate from Him, and all those things will happen. And you'll rely on yourself. See how far that gets you. Okay. For my little bit of 26 years of experience, being on this side hasn't got me very far. It's only brought more pain. It's only brought more misunderstanding. Less peace about what's going on in my life. More confusion than being with Christ. When I'm devoting myself to Christ, and as I've probably reiterated too many times, I have a comfort and a peace that I just cannot explain to you about the things that are going on in my life. And as I pray, I think Stephanie's going to come back up here and they're going to sing. While that's going on, I really just want you to take a reflection. Okay? Take a reflection into your own heart. Which side are you on? Are you choosing to live without and glorifying yourself, or you're choosing to live with and glorifying Christ? It's only a decision that you can make. I can't make it for you. Steve can't make it. Your spouse can't make it. Your mom can't make it. It's a decision for you to make about Christ. Just take that moment, and if any time between now and the end you feel led to commit your life to Christ, come on up here and we'll be happy to talk with you. If you would, please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this wonderful opportunity that you've given us. We know that without you, we are nothing and we have nothing. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You've been there from the beginning and you'll be until the end. You created all things. We're so thankful for that because you are a perfect God. You are a righteous God. Lord, I pray that before we leave this building, that somebody's heart will be changed, their mind will be opened up, and they will commit their life to you, Lord. Not for themselves, but for your glory, so your light can be shown and that your name can be spread across nations, Lord. We're so thankful for you, and we're thankful for your death on the cross. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.